Parshas Tzav says in the Parsha Kapitel Ches Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Umi Pesach Haya Morid Leseitu Shivas Yomim Ad Yom Meleish Shmei Meleichem. We're talking about Aaron and his children shall not leave the entrance of the Ohel Moed for 7 days until the day when your days of inauguration are completed. Ki shivas yomim yimal yeshetchem, because for 7 days your hands shall be filled. Meaning for 7 days you're going to be inaugurated. Pasuk Lamed Vav. V'yas Aaron uvonav eiskalat dvarim ashetiva Hashem biyad Moshe. Aaron and his children, his sons, performed all of the matters that Hashem commanded through the hands of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron and his children and his sons to remain in the Mishkan for 7 days, while Moshe Rabbeinu would perform the Avodah. After the 7 day period, on the 8th day, Aaron and his sons would take over from Moshe, and at that point in time, they would be the ones performing the Avodah. At that point in time and forward, they would be the ones performing the Avodah. What is the meaning of the Torah when it says that for 7 days your hands, your yimalei es yedchem, your hands shall be filled? What is that lashon of your hands shall be filled? The Torah mentions numerous times that the command of Hashem was performed as He commanded them, or as He commanded Moshe, or as He commanded Moshe and Aaron. Tzivah b'Hashem b'yad Moshe, b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. This is the only time that it says Hashatzivah Hashem b'yad Moshe, that Hashem commanded through the hands of Moshe. What is the meaning of the Yad Moshe, the hands of Moshe? Rashi says, Vayas Aaron uvonav eiskol advarim ashetziva Hashem biyad Moshe. This pasuk comes to tell us the tremendous praises of Aaron and his sons, that they did not veer to the right or the left of what they were commanded, although they did not hear the command directly from Hashem. The Teyas Koyanim says that Aaron and his sons were happy to accept the words of Moshe as if they heard it directly from their Rebbeinu Shelolam. The Pasuk is saying the tremendous praise, you know, they could say is, listen, if we hear it directly from Hashem, so we'll follow exactly. No, they were happy. Moshe Rabbeinu was the messenger. He was the go-between them and their Rebbeinu Shelolam, and they were content and happy with that. The Gur Aryeh says, the commandments were many and detailed, yet Aaron and his sons did not deviate even one iota. Prominent individuals, Yehoshua a guy, tend to be resentful when they have to obey the instructions received through a contemporary. You know, so someone says, I'm too chashiv. You have something, God, you have something you want to tell me? I'm doing a tremendous avodah. I'm doing an avodah in the Beis Hamikdash for you. You want me to do an avodah? That's great. Tell me yourself. Aaron had no resentment that he received the command of Hashem through Moshe. He followed the instructions with great joy, as if he had heard it directly from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. It says in the Hamikdavar, these 7 days that we're talking about were days that Moshe performed the Avodah and not Aaron and his sons. Moshe told them not to leave the entrance of the Ohel Moed for all these 7 days, even though they weren't performing the Avodah. Moshe explained that they need to fill up their hands. They needed to be trained, their hands. They needed to be a lashon of being trained in the actual ma'isa of how to do avodah with great joy and zehiras, alacrity. Nachal Kidum says, even though Aaron and his sons were not doing the avodah, they stayed and watched meticulously for the 7 days in which Moshe was performing the avodah. So they were happy that they weren't like, oh, this is too long, this is too short. Whatever was told to them, they were ready to do 7 days. For 7 days they watched Moshe until they were the ones to take over. The Malbim says, all the time that the Torah says, Kashatziva Hashem es Moshe, it is said that way because it was Moshe Rabbeinu who was commanded from Hashem. However, in deference to the covenant of Aaron and his sons, Moshe was only a messenger to give this command, but the command was for Aaron and his sons. Therefore, the Pasuk says that Aaron and his sons performed the matter that Hashem commanded them, as was given to them through the hands of Moshe. The Pasuk is stressing it wasn't Kashatziva Hashem as Moshe. It wasn't the pshat that the command was for Moshe, and Moshe was to give it over, but it was for Moshe the command, but rather, the command was inherently for Aaron and his children, just Moshe Moshe Rabbeinu happened to be the messenger with who would bring the message. But it wasn't that that was the entire purpose and the reason, but rather it was for Aaron and his sons. They were chashuv in their own right. It says in the Chassam Sefer, he says that the concept of Milu Yudayim, mentioned twice in the final psukim of this parsha, it could be a remez to the final days of one's life. He says when one's hands are full with all of the accomplishments of his life. Milu Yadayim, he's coming to the end of his life, hands full with maisim, actions, hopefully good actions. According to this approach, the Torah is urging us never to leave the entrance of the Ohel Moed, but rather to focus our thoughts completely on Avodas Hashem for the 7 decades of our life. The 7, he says, refers to the 7 decades, and the person that says lives 70 years is considered a lifetime. So for the 7 decades, a person has to be, he should always never leave the entrance of the Ohel Moed. If one does this, on the day and the final day of his life, he will not leave this world empty-handed. Rather, Shivas Yomim Yimalei Yedchem, his hands will be full of his accomplishment of his 7 decades of his life. The next pasuk continues, Kashe Asa Bayim Azeh, as he did on this day. Meaning, on the basis that one brought all of his accomplishments in the final day of his life with him, Tziva Hashem L'chap Aleichem, Hashem has commanded that you should achieve a kepara. So the Torah, the Chassam Sefer is explaining, the Torah is telling us that you want to know how you're going to come to Shemayim at the end of your life, and you're going to be judged favorably. You have to come with your hands full. You have to always stay mipesach Ohel Moed. You have to stay in the entrance way of the Ohel Moed. You have to stay in learning in Avodas Hashem. Learning doesn't necessarily mean learning full time, a full day. Not everyone could do that. But to be always doing the Avodas Hashem, having the connection to Hashem. Some Sefer says like this. Aaron and his children are symbolically demonstrating how we should live our lives during the years we are given by the Rebbeinu Shlomo on this earth. For all 7 decades of your life, you must never lose sight of this true objective. Olam Haba. That's our goal. This is just a intermediary. This is a way to get our whole purpose in this world is so that we can get to the next world. Nama de kisufa. It's embarrassing bread. If we were to go straight to Olam Haba, so we wouldn't deserve it. We come into this world. It's an opportunity to do mitzvahs and learn Torah, and that way we'll be entitled to Olam Haba. So how does one achieve this? He must position himself at the entrance of Ohel Moed, referring to Olam Haba. One must see this world as a corridor which leads to the palace, which is Olam Haba. One never knows when his last day is. Therefore, one must live each day doing tshuva and performing Avodas Hashem. If one does this, the pasuk says, "Ushmartim esmeres Hashem b'loisam musa." If one heeds the guidelines of Hashem in this world, he will not die in the next world. He will be granted eternal life in the palace of Olam Haba. So what the Chassam Sefer says, the 2 different pshatim. One is in terms of staying. We're talking about Avodas Hashem, but the second pshat is the focus on Olam Haba, the focus on why are we here? What is our goal here? What are we to accomplish here? Our accomplishment is that this is just an opportunity to get to the next world, and we have to take advantage of that opportunity. One never knows when the last day of his life is. That's why he always has to be on his best behavior, because he never knows when it will be his last day, and if he misses his last day, he'll have no more chances. It says in the Panei Achrozah, Shetziva Hashem B'yad Moshe, it teaches us that Moshe used all the strength of his hands to follow the Ratzon of Hashem and his commandments. The Hamik Dover says, Asher Tziva Hashem Biyad Moshe, Aaron and his sons did everything that Hashem commanded them through the words of Moshe. Moshe was mechadish things that he was not commanded by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Aaron and his sons performed everything, even the commands which were from the hands of Moshe, commands that did not emanate from Hashem. They're saying a bigger chiddush now, McDowell says. Ashetziv Hashem biyad Moshe. Aside from what the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe, Moshe told Aaron more things, which were not directly from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And Aaron said, Moshe Rabbeinu is our leader, Moshe emes, or sayosay emes, and whatever Moshe Rabbeinu told them, they did not veer to the right or the left, and they followed what Moshe's commands were. It says in the Lechem Min HaShemayim, Vayas Aaron Uvanov, the Pasuk should say Vayasu. It says Vayas, and he did Aaron Uvanov. It should say Vayasu, they. Who's they? Aaron Uvanov. It's plural. So what is the Pshat? Vayas. He says the Pasuk is Meramis to us that they did it Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Aaron Uvanov. They were like one man with one heart. They did it with great joy to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. There's a general concept that if each one is out for himself, when you have ten people, a group of people, 10, 20, 100, 1,000, 10 million, when each purpose is there for their own purpose, then it's not achdus, it's not together, there's no ki'ish echad b'lev echad. Each one has its own purpose, and they're not doing it. What's the reason? Each one could have their own reason for doing it. However, when everyone's doing it just to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, there's no competition. They're all one. It's not like, oh, I want more schar, I want something out of it. No, if you're doing it, if everyone has that same one goal, the point is, and the only purpose is to follow the Ratzon Hashem, then there's no machlokes, and they're considered like one person, ki'ish echad b'lev echad. It says in the Karin L'David, gather the Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Dalet, gather the entire assembly to the entrance of the Oil Moed, and the assembly was gathered. One should hurry to do a mitzvah, and one should not let mitzvahs become chometz. You shouldn't let a mitzvah become chometz. The Chilton Parshas Bo says, one should have a great desire to perform the mitzvahs of Hashem. He should rush to perform them and show a love for the mitzvahs. Hashem commanded Moshe they should gather Klal Yisrael. Torah tells us that the Klal Yisrael were gathered by themselves. Not that they would have to be gathered. They were gathered by themselves even before they were commanded. Why? Because of their great excitement for the Torah and mitzvahs, and their love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a beautiful thing that Klal Yisrael did. Again, following along with what we said from the Lechem and HaShemayim, depending on what a person's goals are, if everyone's goals are the same, then nothing matters. They all came and they gathered even before they were commanded, because that was what they wanted. Perhaps now we can understand why the Torah tells us that Aaron and his sons followed the commands of Hashem that they received through the hands of Moshe. Aaron and his sons were not getting the opportunity to actually perform that void at this time. They were just watching Moshe and learning from him. Preparation is a fundamental part of Torah HaKadosh. We need to remember this. This is a Yesod Gadol. People often do not want to prepare. They just want to get to the part where they're actually doing something. Right away, I need to accomplish. Yet if one does not prepare properly, he will not do his job correctly as it should be. Everyone nowadays, everyone needs to have everything immediate, fast. No one wants to work at anything. Everything has got to come immediately. But when we do things immediately and we think we're ready, preparation, if we don't prepare properly, then it doesn't get done correctly. Aaron and his sons and Tariq Klal Yisrael demonstrated a great love for their Rebbeinu Shalom. It is because of this true love, that desire for honor did not get in the way. There was no covet. It wasn't just, oh, me, I'm more important. There was none of that. The whole purpose was Kavod Shemayim. Aaron and his sons did not mind that they were receiving the commands through the hands of Moshe. Not only did Moshe tell them what Hashem commanded them to do, Moshe added things, which he was mechadish. And even these, Aaron and his sons performed with great joy. Why? Because they knew that if Moshe was adding it, Moshe's whole purpose was Kavod Shemayim. Their whole purpose was Kavod Shemayim. And it was not about honor, but it was about bringing a nachas ruach to Hashem. So this is a tremendous Yisoy that we have to work on. We have Purim coming up, and then 4 weeks later we have Pesach. We have to prepare. Don't we just go into Pesach? Go into Purim even. What is the Yisoy of Purim? Let's discuss Purim a little bit. It says in Megillas Esther, Pitel Hei Pasik Ches, Yovoi HaMelech V'Homon El HaMishte Asher Esther Lehem U'mocha Esther Kedvah HaMelech. Esther tells Ahasuerus, let the king You, Achashverosh, and Haman, come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them. She's speaking in third person to Achashverosh. And tomorrow I will do the king's bidding. She's going to listen to him. At the banquet, so we have Esther Amalka. She invited Achashverosh and Haman to a banquet. At the banquet, she requests that Achashverosh and Haman should come again tomorrow for another banquet, where she will do his bidding, which means that she will answer his question of what's going on. Esther Amalka wanted something from Achashverosh. Achashverosh wanted to know what it was, and she didn't answer yet. And she says, well, tomorrow. Rashi explains that Esther was telling Achashverosh that she will finally reveal to him her lineage. What is it? Achashverosh wanted to know what nation does she come from. And Megillah told us numerous times that she listened to Mordechai and she never revealed her lineage. Achashverosh wanted to know. She said, I'm going to tell you tomorrow. Esther Amalka was attempting to save Klal Yisrael from the wicked Haman Harasha. The plan was for her to tell Achashverosh that she was Jewish and that the wicked Haman, the Rasha Haman, Haman Harasha, wanted to kill out all the Eden. So if so, why didn't Esther just tell Achashverosh at the first banquet? Why is it, V'yavai ha-melech ha-melech mishtash ha-selam, b'morchar, tomorrow? What's the difference between today, right here, right now, and tomorrow? Let her just save Klal Yisrael. This is what their plan. What is she waiting for? What is the purpose in waiting for tomorrow? The Nachal Eshkol says, he quotes Arizal, that when Esther Hamalka invited Achashverosh and Haman to the first banquet, her intentions were to invoke the Midas Rachem of the Rebbeinu Shalom and have the decree against Klal Yisrael annulled. That was the purpose. Yavai HaMelech V'Haman Hayoyim. The Rosh Tevis is Yavai HaMelech V'Haman Hayoyim. Those four words. The Rosh Tevis is the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name that represents the Midas Rachem of the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what her purpose was in the first Suda. The Yarish Dvar says, and it says in Kapitel Dal Pasik Tez Zayin, Al Teichu Val Tishu Sheshem Lael V'yayim, do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. Esther Amalka sent a message to Mordechai at Tzadik that Klal Yisrael should fast for 3 days and three nights. Why specifically 3 days? Well, why did Mordechai decide for 3 days and three nights? 3 days, Lael V'yayim, night and day. Mordechai Megillah says, and Daf Yud Beis, one of the reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to be exerted upon Klal Yisrael was because of their sin of partaking of Achashverosh's 7-day feast, as it tells us in the beginning of the Megillah. However, since the 7th day of the feast was Shabbos, Klal Yisrael did not attend. On Shabbos they didn't come. In addition, although the feast was held both day and night, Klal Yisrael only partook of the feast during the day. Esther had Klal Yisrael fast 3 days, day and night, for a total of 6 12-hour periods to atone for the 6 days of their feasting with Achashverosh. This was, each one was to atone for exactly what they did, and that's why specifically 3 days and three nights. The Rekeach says, Esther had Klal Yisrael fast for 3 days to counteract Haman's three-pronged plan of Lahashmid Laharig Ul'abed Kol HaYehudim. It was Lahashmid Laharig Ul'abed, to destroy, kill, and wipe out all of the Yidden. So therefore, because there were three different points to destroy, kill, and wipe out, so the Lahashmid Laharig Ul'abed, there was 3 days and nights to counteract these three. Of Hashmid Lahareg Ulabid. It says in the Yarish Dvash, and it says, Yovei HaMelech V'Haman El Mishta Asher Eser Lahem U'mocher Eser Kedvar HaMelech. The Gemara Megillah on Daf Tez Vavan Beis says that when Esther arrived in Achashverosh's room, she felt the Shechina leave her because the room was filled with Avodah Zarah. Esther knew that it would take a miracle, a nace, for Klal Yisrael to be saved from this terrifying decree. The Shechina needed to be with her during her appeal to Achashverosh. She couldn't do it without the Shechina. When Esther realized that the Shechina left her, she postponed her request of Achashverosh until the next day. She invited Achashverosh and Haman to her room, the only room in the palace devoid of Avodah Zarah. So the first Suda, the first Mishnah, was not in her room. There were Avodah Zarah there, there was no Shechina. The Shechina did not want to rest there. So she said, I can't do this. I can't ask now to switch rooms, it's going to look funny. She said, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to do it in my room. When we do it in my room, the Shechina will be there. There was still a problem with this plan. Haman walked around wearing an avodah zara on him, which would still cause the Shechina to leave. We know that was the he had hanging around his neck that Mordechai didn't want to bow down to. The Rebbeinu Shalom, with his great plan, resolved this issue. Haman had been leading Mordechai through the streets on the king's horse before coming to the feast. Haman was acting as Mordechai's servant, was required to wear a standard servant's uniform and not his royal attire, which would be a disgrace for the kingdom. Normally, Haman was a very powerful person in the kingdom, and he wore royal clothing. But here, when he was being the servant of Mordechai and taking Mordechai around, it would be a disgrace for him to wear Bigdei Malchus. So therefore, he had to take off his Bigdei Malchus and put on other clothing. He was wearing a standard uniform and he was not allowed to wear anything that he normally had, including that Avodah Zarah that he had around his neck. He therefore was not wearing his Avodah Zarah. The king's messengers arrived to escort Haman to Esther's feast immediately after he completed leading Mordechai around town. The second he was done with leading them around town, they took him straight to the feast so he couldn't go change clothing. Haman came without his Avodah Zarah, and Esther with the Shechina with her appeal to Achashverosh that they should decree should be annulled and Klal Yisrael should be saved, because again it was done in Esther Hamalka's room where there was no Avodah Zarah, and Haman did not have his Avodah Zarah on him. It says in the Yalkut Shemoni, Umocha Esther Kedvar HaMelech. What did Esther see that she requested to wait till tomorrow? The Yalkut Shemoni says Esther saw that all of the descendants of Amalek would fall tomorrow. She saw Benavua, Beruach HaKadosh, that they would all fall tomorrow, which would be the day that Haman would lose and the decree of Klal Yisrael would be annulled. Manas HaLevi says, Yovei HaMelech V'Haman El Mishtash Asla Mochar. Esther was waiting for it to be revealed to her that her proposed mission would succeed. She needed a sign that it would work. At the first Mishtah, she had not seen a sign that her plan would work, so she pushed it off till the next day. After the first Mishtah, Haman was humiliated by having to lead Mordechai through the streets. Once Esther Malka saw the tide was changing, and Haman HaRasha, the powerful Haman HaRasha, was leading Mordechai HaTzadik through the streets. That was a sign that everything is turning, and the decree is going to be annulled, and now she felt comfortable that she was going to ask tell Achashverosh that she was Jewish, and Haman was trying to kill the Jews. It says in the Medrash Panim Achirim. Kapitel Hei Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi b'yayim ha'shishi v'tilbash Esther Malchus. And it was on the third day, and Esther Malka put on, she was tilbash Esther Malchus. She clothed herself with Malchus, with royalty. Esther removed her sackcloth, and Kadosh Baruch Hu clothed her in attire that was like the royalty of above. He's talking about Hecher Zachin, the royalty of above from the Rebbeinu Shalom. The pasuk does not say that she donned royal clothing, rather just that she donned royalty. Kadosh Baruch Hu dressed her in the true royalty from above because she was a true queen. Why was she a true queen? Because she was prepared to risk her life to save Klal Yisrael. Then the Or Chadosh. Yovoi HaMelech V'Haman Hayoim. As we said before, the Rosh HaTevis of these four words spell the Shem Havaya. He explains, the Shema Vaya is not complete until Amalek is completely eradicated. Esther came with this Shema Hashem to the Suda with Haman, who was a descendant of Amalek, as this Suda was the first step in wiping out the name of Amalek forever. This was the first step to wipe out the name of Amalek and to make the Shema Vaya Yud Kei Vav Kei whole again. It says in the Chain Toiv, V'hoyo ki yish olcha bin chamoch oleimar mazois. And it shall be when your son will ask you tomorrow, what is this? One should answer his son with a strong hand, the koyach gadol, b'yot chazaka, a strong hand Hashem removed us from the shrine, from the house of bondage. The son is questioning, why does the Baruch Hashem need us to bring kabbonis, to be paid the b'chayris? Why do we have to bring, what's this concept? What does Hashem achieve from it? He explains the purpose is for us to remember that we were not worthy of being taken out of Mitzrayim. We owe our nefesh to the Baruch Shalom. Therefore, we must attach ourselves to the Torah as best as we can. It says in the Zohar HaKadosh, "Uvechein avoy lamelech asher loy kados." Then I will go into the king, though it is unlawful. Esther HaMalka told Mordechai that Klal Yisrael should fast for 3 days and 3 nights, a total of 72 hours. She said, now, again, she was going to go in, although there was a decree that if someone comes in and it was not called by the king, would get killed unless the scepter would touch her. The gematria of Chesed is 72. Esther wanted to declare herself to fast for 72 hours, connected the gematria of Chesed, which is 72, to invoke the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, Uvechein. Uvechein ovo elamelech shei gadosh, Uvechein is the gematria of 72. With Chesed, Esther went to the king, the true king, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and davened asher loy kadosh. She says the gematria of kadosh equals Mashiach ben David. That Klai Yisrael should be zeichet to see Mashiach ben David. Not only was she davening for Klai Yisrael to be saved then, but she was davening at that point that Klai Yisrael should be zeichet to see Mashiach ben David. Tanchuma, Parish's boy, says Mocher refers to the Geula Asida. Esther says, Gam Mocher Yehudim Hashem Shushan Lassus Kadosh. Esther thought it was time for Kadosh. She thought it was time for Mashiach ben David. The Mashiach ben David was right at that time. Yet it would not be at that time, as we know, unfortunately. May we be taken be Zeichet to see the true Geula, and then we will sing Shir Chadosh. Perhaps now we can understand why Esther Malka required another feast, another mishnah, tomorrow, Mochar, tomorrow. Esther went to Achashverosh with the Midas HaChesed of the Baruch Shalom. She recognized that there's only one thing that could save Klai Yisrael, the great Chesed of the Baruch Shalom. The Baruch Shalom took Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim with great Chesed and take us out of this Golas as well with great Chesed. Esther had complete emunah that the Baruch Shalom would save them. She delayed her plan until she saw that the Baruch Shalom was completely with her. Mochar is the time of the Geula Asida. The great Yom Tov Purim is a time for us to attain a complete emunah that with the infinite chesed of the Rebbeinu Shalom, he will bring the Geula Asida. We will be zeichet to see the building of the everlasting Beis HaMikdash Meher B'Yameinu Amen. We will be zeichet to see Amalek Zohar. You have to remember what Amalek did to us. He made the Shem Havai in this world not complete. We have to eradicate Amalek. We should be zeichet to Parsha Zohar, that we should, his name should be eradicated, he should be completely gone. We should be zeichet to have a true Yeshua on Purim, which Klai Yisrael was saved then. And Esther Malka believed, Mochar, that it's going to be the Geula Asida. We should be zeichet to have the final Geula, the Geula Asida. Meher B'Yameinu Amen. Everyone have a Freilich on Purim, a wonderful Shabbos.